Wolf Dreamer floated in the spring, blessing the stink of the geyser that kept the columns of blood-sucking black flies and mosquitoes at bay. It was a summer like none he could have imagined. Blue Sky Man glowed above, his ponderous belly only hidden by occasional clouds. The flies, mosquitoes, and gnats rolled across the green land in droves. Sprigs of willow and dwarf birch rose from the rocks, lining the yellow-caked sides of the stream. Broken Branch smiled in the sun, eagerly attacking the moss and plants with her digging stick. She'd been creating feast after feast for dinner. Blossoms, sweet and delicate, scented the slow breezes in a rich promise of bearberries. Sour dock and wild rhubarb greened above the verdant blaze of willow and alder. Overhead, flights of snow geese, ducks, and chattering ravens passed in a whir of wings. Eagles twisted and turned, spiraling against the endless blue. The day before, he had marched to the big river with Heron. The tumult of the water had shaken him to his bones. Such power, such violence. The very ground had reverberated from the tormented sandy flood. Wolf Dreamer waved his arms gently, letting the warm water support him, and cleared his mind. Peace filled him. The battle had almost been won. Time after time, he'd forced himself, each attempt bringing longer and longer spans of silence. Heron had been patient. The feeling of water lapping at his side soothed him. The voice of the water, he'd discovered, resembled human speech. Lulls punctuated the noise, lulls of pure silence. He felt Heron's presence and raised his head to watch her disrobe. Even in her old age, Heron's beauty remained. Her breasts, though sagged with age, still held an allure, as did her flat stomach, unspoiled by children. Firm legs and arms bespoke the graceful essence of woman. Suddenly he thought of Dancing Fox, wondering how she would appear at Heron's age. He tried to picture her, the image of her bursting youth forming in his mind. She walked in his imagination, hips swinging, eyes sparkling promise as she made for him. His manhood hardened. Her hair would shine blue-black in the sun, tumbling down over her smooth shoulders. He imagined her diving, seal-like, into the pool, water rippling from her brown back. Beside him, she would come up, breasts bobbing. Her touch would be light on his skin as she reached for him. He would turn, stroke her, holding her close as her legs went around him. He could feel her as she opened herself, ready to...
You have something on your mind?
Heron's question immediately popped his imaginings, causing him to start. Water rushed into his nose. A wicked light gleamed in her eye. She looked at his hard maleness protruding from the water.
Not this old woman. Too old, even for a handsome boy like you.
He blushed furiously and rolled in the water to hide himself, shame running hot in his veins. She dove under the water, forcing him to turn again to hide himself. Her old eyes twinkled as her head broke the surface. He huddled there, chin barely above water.
I'm still a man. Dreaming doesn't take that away from you.
She wiped her face of the crystal beads of water and grinned at him.
Oh, you're a man, all right. Seems they think of only one thing. But excuse an old woman. People coupling, that's part of the dance.
He swirled the water with his hands, hoping the shimmering ripples obscured what the water revealed. Desire drained. He felt better.
It wasn't you I was thinking of.
Heron moved to sit on a rock, the water lapping about her waist.
Ah, a young woman. Is she waiting for you?
She's not. Crowcaller took her as a wife. She ate of the wolf, accepted the dream, but she followed him. A wife doesn't...
Run off with another man, but she could have.
It would have brought dishonor. She would never...
More likely she fears Crowcaller. Fears what he would do to her.
She wrung water from her hair, appraising his defiant glare.
What's this I see in your eyes? A case of young love?
Don't.
He eyed her sternly. The pain of losing Dancing Fox seared his chest. She nodded, giving in.
I won't torment you about her. Her love is your burden.
Burden? More like solace.
I think you'll see it differently in the near future.
Didn't you ever long for a man? Didn't you love your bear hunter?
The empty look on her face made him regret the words as he spoke them. She watched him, impassive, for several moments.
Yes, I did. Would have given anything for him. Thought about killing Broken Branch when she weaseled her way into his robes.
Why didn't you go back? As pretty as you are, any man would have come here with you.
No. No man. Wolf Dreamer, you must know this. Dreaming, real dreaming, doesn't leave room for a mate. When a man and woman are together, they take a part of each other. His or her problems become yours. Coupling produces children, no way around it. Children demand all your attention, and they deserve it. So much work goes into turning an infant from an animal into a human being. Children have no sense of time. They need attention now. You can't dream when your child is hungry, or has a question, or gets cut on a shirt flake.
That's why you're still here after all these years?
That's why. No man, no temptation. Just me and my thoughts and dreams. I made that decision when Bear Hunter went to Broken Branch. And I was young then, hurt. I didn't want to have to see him and her.
And now she's here.
It's been a long time. He's many long darks dead. Both Broken Branch and I have changed. And she's brought me a different man. One more important than a lover could ever have been. Oh, I could wonder about what-ifs. But if you look hard enough, there's a purpose, a reason why everything happens. Maybe you were calling me, even then.
He frowned, moving up to sit beside her, the water streaming down his body.
You're sure it was me in your dream?
There is no doubt.
But why would you dream of me?
You're important to the people somehow. Maybe we'll all die if you don't find that hole in the ice.
A tremor of anxiety touched him. He fumbled with the gritty surface of a rock.
What should I do about Dancing Fox? She fills my thoughts more every day. I can't concentrate.
Your choice, Wolf Dreamer. These gifts of yours, they're powerful. I see you changing. The man you were, the one she knew, doesn't exist anymore. Worse, you're growing so quickly into someone different, she'll hardly know you when she meets you again. Will she understand? More importantly, will you want to go back to what you were before the dreaming?
You tell me. You've walked this path.
I have no answers for you, but I can tell you the dreaming is like eating a spirit plant. Once started, you can't get enough. It fills you, drives you, guides you.
Constantly? Isn't there time for...
Constantly.
He frowned, watching steam twirl over his head. She studied his face with unblinking brown eyes.
That's a heavy price to...
A terrible price.
He propped his chin on one knee, staring unblinking into her serious eyes. Wet strands of silver-shot hair draped over her breasts. A grim smile curled her lips.
Is the salvation of the people worth it?
Branches of dwarf birch and willow twined through the mist of the hot springs, stretching into the turquoise sky. The yellowish-green crust on the boulders at the edge of the pool sparkled in the golden sunlight. Wolf Dreamer watched as Broken Branch used a hand-sized stone and flat rock to pound the dried corpses of ground squirrels into a paste. She mixed the flesh with mashed berries, then slid handfuls into caribou intestine. After each handful, she poured hot fat into the ropey sack. Broken Branch rammed home the whole lumpy mass with a stick until the gut bulged. Wolfdreamer stood uncomfortably, thinking. They'd hunted, dreamed the caribou in again, and this time he thought he'd heard a single breath of the one voice they shared. He wasn't sure he hadn't just imagined it. Wolfdreamer turned and smiled as Heron approached.
Come inside.
He followed her back into the cave, eyes losing focus in the narrow darkness. She threw a finely tanned hide at him, which he caught before it touched the ground.
The flies are gone. The frost has sent them into hiding. How many days since you've eaten?
3.
Go high. At least a day from here. Remember the dance. Dream.
He took the robe and turned, pausing to look back.
I called them all the way this time, didn't I?
I did nothing. You called, they came. We killed enough for winter. We'll have fat for the cold times, meat for strength.
I thought...
What?
For a moment, I thought I heard a breath of the one.
What did it sound like?
It didn't have a sound, really.
A wry smile lit her face, and she nodded encouragingly.
Then maybe you did hear it. Is there a voice we share with the animals that goes deeper than the world we think we hear around us? Go dream. Listen for it.
Uneasy, he walked out of the cave into the light, turning his steps west toward the ice-shrouded mountains. She always did that, left him wondering what was real, what was imaginary. This year, the shelters of the camp hosting renewal looked shabby, worn, poorly repaired. Dancing Fox led the way down the slope slowly, aware that it hurt Talon to walk too far. The old woman wasn't as strong as she'd been before. Since the starving days when they'd left Buffalo Back's camp, some part of Talon's soul had been diminished. She hobbled along, little more than an ancient wraith in hide rags. Before them, the camp stretched, nestled on the edge of the marshy flats. The flies and mosquitoes would be miserable here this year. To the east, the big river raced in a torrential flood, overfilling its banks. To the south, behind the camp, the rumpled gray hills rose to obscure the horizon until they merged with the mandibular teeth of the glacier-patched western mountains. From the smattering of shelters on the terrace, winding spirals of blue smoke rose toward the sky, the odors of cooking meat, wet dog, and camp trash already carried on the air. A rack of fish had been placed beside a shelter to dry. A young boy with a stick guarded it from the dogs. People sat around smoldering fires, hiding in the smudge while they talked and gestured. Talon touched Dancing Fox's arm.
Oh, you don't have to wait for me. Go. Go find your runs in light. I'll be along.
With a fleeting smile, Dancing Fox began to break into a run and stopped short, a cold chill in her heart.
Why did you stop?
Crow Caller. He'll be there. So will all the others who survived. The story of his casting me out will have gone around. No, Grandmother, I want you to walk in with me.
Not ready to go it alone, eh?
Talon patted her arm, but Dancing Fox fought a flush of embarrassment.
Maybe. Still, no matter what I think, I owe it to you. We go together. It would be more proper.
The dog saw them first, running out, hair stiff and menacing. Dancing Fox slapped them away with her darts. Children followed on the heels of the dogs.
Who comes? Who comes?
This is Talon. I'm Dancing Fox.
An older boy, evidently the leader, stopped short, kicking one of the big dogs out of the way, a deep frown on his forehead. He was tall and thin, his face long and eyes small.
Are you the wife Crow Caller cursed?
I am.
You're supposed to be around a renewal. Your soul won't do anything, cause sickness or the others to find us? Oh!
Talon charged him on her thin sticks of legs, the youth's eyes going wide as he scrambled back.
Who are you, young brat? No one teach you manners?
I'm sorry. Forgive me, Grandmother. I didn't mean you. I was only
acting like an animal. Oh, your parents will hear, I promise that. And so will the leader. This may have been a bad year, but that's no excuse for sniveling brats like you to lose your manners and act like maggots in the body of the people.
The youth turned on his heel and ran, eyes downcast in shame. The rest of his group stared wide-eyed and broke after a heartbeat, pounding away after him.
Looks like my fame has spread far and wide. This may not be pleasant.
You knew that before we came here. But don't be so worried. After Crowcaller killed so many, people will think twice about his curse.
We'll see.
They plodded forward, weaving through the array of hide lodges, seeing hundreds of new faces.
Look over there. Isn't that one who cries and singing wolf?
Fox held her breath, searching the faces of the people near the two men, searching for runs in light.
I don't see.
I don't see him either. But the fact that two of his cousins are here means he led them safely. They didn't die.
Pride welled in Dancing Fox's chest, a broad smile lighting her face.
Yes, it does.
Well, let's go find your hero. Maybe he'll let us move right into his lodge, eh? You figure he needs an old woman to sew for him? Cook? Maybe tell your brat kids the old stories?
Dancing Fox grinned, patting the old woman's shoulder.
After Seagull's death, I'm sure he'd be grateful.
As they approached One Who Cries shelter, green water ducked through the shelter flaps, waving at the horde of flies, a slow smile coming to her face.
Dancing Fox! Green water! You lived! The wolf dream, it was true!
Green water's warm hug enfolded her first, Talon next. She stepped back, looking Fox up and down, her broad face beaming.
Yes, the dream kept us alive. As to the hole in the big ice, who knows? But we found a haven from the others.
And runs in light?
He's not here.
He's not?
In her calm way, Greenwater took her hand and motioned for them to enter the low tent.
He stayed at Old Heron's to learn to become a great dreamer. He's called Wolf Dreamer now.
Heron?
Yes, she's more than a legend.
Dancing Fox glanced in confusion at Talon, seeing reservation in the old woman's eyes, some veiled secret.
Why would he stay with her? He's already a great dreamer.
He wants to be as great as Heron. Better even, maybe.
Talon slapped gnarled, age-spotted hands on her knees. Her eyes met Fox's, challenging.
If that's the case, girl, he'll never have time for you.
I don't...
Dreaming. Real dreaming. Oh, the people need a dreamer. Been so long since we had one. And now, who'd think it would be Wolf Dreamer?
But I don't...
No, of course you don't. Girl, if he's going to be a dreamer, he's become a man possessed. Oh, he'll know you, and if he really cares for you, he might even be swayed from his dreams. But know this, Fox. Even if you win him back for a while, draw him away, he'll never be all yours. Never.
Why not?
Because the visions cage a dreamer's soul and never let it go.
Five men, tall, long-legged, walked in graceful single file through the rocks. Hoods dangled over their shoulders, the blank eyes of wolves, foxes, and eagles staring from the hides wrapping their heads. Their eyes searched in the manner of hunters. Mammoth hide wrapped around their loins like thick belts. Long darts, fletched with eagle feathers, were clutched in bony hands. They didn't see Raven Hunter or the rest of the young men hidden in the boulders. Fierce they might be, but they also walked arrogantly, heads high, heart thudding in his chest, every limb vibrant with excitement. Raven Hunter waited. The first man had walked well within the trap.
Soon, none will escape. At last.
Despite his fear-dry mouth and the charged blood rushing in his veins, Raven Hunter floated on a crest of exultation. Here before him walked the murderers of his people. Now, at last, he would strike back. By this act, the people would prove themselves, and under his leadership, Despite his youth, he would step into the circles of power and decision where he belonged. A feeling of invincibility and premonition burned in his breast. Jumping Hare shifted on the rocks near him.
Shh!
The last other walked within range. Raven Hunter bunched his muscles, rising. His dart cast sure from years of practice. The other spun, dropping his atlatl. A look of incomprehension on his face. The men of the others moved back to back, raising weapons. Raven Hunter knocked another dart. On all sides, Jumping Hare, Strikes Lightning, Three Falls, and Eagle Cries bounded to their feet, darts flashing in the air. It ended quickly, leaving others dead on the ground. Blood-smeared hands clutched the shafts protruding from their bodies. Raven Hunter jumped lightly down the rocks.
Two! I killed two!
Brutally, he wrenched his dart from the body of the first, delighted with the gouts of coagulating blood that followed. Around him, the rest of his victorious party clambered down slowly, eyes wide, shocked at what they'd done. Jumping Hare shook his head slowly, staring at the man his dart had killed. Raven Hunter eyed his cousin curiously.
They aren't so terrible in death, huh? No longer will they run us from our ancestral lands. Lands given to us by Father Sun. A new day has dawned! We are the people!
Strikes Lightning smiled proudly and slapped Raven Hunter on the back.
The people! Oh!
One by one, their eyes glowed with pride as Raven Hunter looked at each man, a smile on his face.
And to think we ran! Ran from such as these! No more, eh, my friends? No, indeed. Together, we shall drive these men back. We won't let them chase us like frightened caribou from the land where our father's bones rest in peace.
No more, Raven Hunter!
Follow me. Follow, and we'll drive these others from our land.
Icefire let his soul sway in the endless light of the solstice. Summer had reached its peak. The sun hung like a glowing golden ball in the sky, the gift of the great mystery. The shelters of the White Tusk clan spread around, built higher in this season of moderate winds. Icefire could smell the odor of roasting buffalo and caribou. The memory of fawn backstrap cut from the side of the spine hung at the back of his tongue. A savory feast of wondrous delight. Young women surrounded the dancers, smiles on their happy faces. Dogs nosed about, seeking scraps, the males hoisting their legs on tent corners, lifting lips in the eternal pecking order of the pack. The shelters reflected prosperity. The children were firm-limbed, with full faces. Clothing, newly made, graced strong arms and legs. Spires of flies hovered around the drying racks surrounding the ceremonial camp of the White Tusk clan. Best of all, no widows watched from the outskirts. No short hair could be seen. Despite the horrors of the dark, this long summer had graced them. A gift from the great mystery, who had all but forgotten them in the horrible winter. Before Icefire, the young men leapt and danced. He closed his eyes, drawing deeply of the smoke of the willow. A sacred plant, the willow. Its odor soothed, purified the soul. In the annual clan festivals, the willow made them all whole. Icefire opened his eyes again to stare into the fire, feeling the harmony of life around him. Flames licked and twisted, shafts of yellow light rising, sparks whirling. He stilled his mind, enjoying the peace of this evening. In the coals, he watched the patterns flow and change by the second. Entranced, he watched the eddies of wind over the burning eye, feeling the power before he was really aware of it. Out of the curls of light, a face formed, staring back at him.
Who are you?
You ask, Father?
Icefire knotted a fist at his breast.
Who?
I threw you a rainbow once, wasn't that enough?
Father. You call me Father?
The man who raped my mother. Now you come for the rest of us? Go away. Leave our lands that Father Son blessed for us. Give us...
A pain lanced through Icefire's breast, a sharp sting like the cool, keen edge of a dart piercing him.
Death. My brother has killed the others. See them? See their bodies lying bleeding and broken?
A vision formed in the back of Icefire's mind. Five crumpled figures, flies thick in the clotted wounds, their eggs lining the torn flesh in ivory piles.
Hoop thrower. Five stars. Mouse tail.
One by one, Icefire saw them, the vision shimmering in the back of his mind. He stared at the face in the fire, swallowing hard.
You... You have done this?
My brother, Ravenhunter, your son did this. I am Wolf Dreamer, born of your seed, man of the others. You have reaped the actions of your lust. What you planted has grown in the rocky soil of the people. Pain, death, and misery walk with Ravenhunter.
We'll kill you. It's now a matter of honor. Mine are a fierce people. Yours are soft, bleeding like wounded caribou calves. My warriors won't let you run any longer. They'll hunt you down for this.
See the way you have made, Father. Your son born of blood comes. Your son born of light leaves. Which will you choose?
Choose? What do you mean? Wolf Dreamer, what is your message?
Death or life. Is there any other message, Father?
And the flames flickered in the breeze, a shower of sparks spiraling into the night in a crimson swirl.
Wolf Dreamer! Wolf Dreamer!
Only the flames danced, the slender branches of willow hissing, their sacred smoke rolling over him like a blanket. Icefire looked about, blinking, the power of the vision fading from his taut body. Red Flint gave him an uneasy look.
Old friend?
Icefire rubbed his mask-like face, feeling the warm hand of the singer on his shoulder. He turned to look, seeing the dancers where they watched, casting wary glances at him and each other.
What happened?
Red Flint met his gaze, deep worry behind his brown eyes.
You stood, shouting into the fire, like you were talking to someone there. I came quickly and saw nothing but glowing coals in the fire pit.
Icefire shivered suddenly, the image of the dead hunters in the back of his mind, the very humming of the flies roaring in his ears.
Death. He said death was coming. My son is coming. And he was born of blood.
Slowly, Icefire walked through the still dancers, hardly aware that they stared at him. Faces ashen. Bonfires made from piles of alder and willow crackled high, sending wreaths of sparks to glow orange-red against the mauve heavens. The people danced praise to the souls of the animals who had sustained them through the year, finishing the last of the four-day ceremony that brought each of the seasons. With all their hearts, they danced the renewal of the world, calling their joy to the blessed star people. Now they would feast, the huge fires flaring in order that the spirits above might see their rejoicing and bounty and bring them more in the coming year. In the reddish glow of the midnight sun, shelters of mammoth hide, caribou, and muskox cast eerie shadows onto the trampled tussock grass. Wind Woman, her breath muted by the long light, played lightly across the camps of the clans, bearing the odors of roasting meat as another season passed. Ravenhunter, with Strike's lightning at his side, watched it all, anger warming his eyes.
So few.
Not in memory has a long dark called so many, nor has a summer been this warm. Not in any man's memory.
The warriors threaded their way, passing shelters, aloof, eyes ahead, as they approached the main fire. Together, a knot of resistance, They waited while the sacred dance slowed, ending in a final leap to reach the blessed star people above. Crowcaller appeared out of the gathering, fire flickering over his withered face. Dressed in summer hides, he strode haughtily, hands raised.
The people live. We offer thanks to the blessed star people. The souls of the animals hear us and rejoice. Their strength lives within us. We are made whole by their sacrifice. From above, they look down and see our joy, our thanks.
The people began to disperse toward the cooking fires, but Raven Hunter strode forward.
There is more!
Crowcaller turned, his blind white eye oddly lit in the flames.
While you danced, I went away. Four went with me. We return victorious.
Raven Hunter held up the dart he'd torn from the other's chest. People cocked their heads, waiting. Raising his hands, Raven Hunter displayed the deadly projectile, black with dried blood.
Here, my people, is victory.
Crowcaller eased forward, black eye sharp.
You killed an animal. You know no one kills during the ceremony of thanks. How could you?
Not one of our four-legged brothers. I commit no sacrilege.
Then what?
Together, we, men of the people, have killed others. Others who killed the people of Geyser's band. Killed our relatives as they pushed them from the land of our ancestors. Pushed them from the big herds.
An old man stepped forward, his eyes blazing with fear and shock.
No! We don't kill. It's not our way. We're peaceful.
We can't run anymore! This land is ours! Ours! Where else can we go? Into the big ice? Into the salt water? We're cornered.
They'll come to kill us. This is not the way of the people. We do not kill men. It is Raven Hunter who has brought their wrath down on us. What will we...
Strikes lightning pushed forward.
They killed my father, Geyser! I ran from them last season. You hear, Grandfather? I'm tired of running. Listen, all of you. They can be beaten, pushed back to the place they came from. Here, Raven Hunter, he has found a way.
This is not our way.
Cowards! Have we no right to keep our land? To protect our women and children?
But the others...
You think they'll leave us alone if we leave them alone?
Why not? We don't threaten them.
Raven Hunter clenched his teeth, rage darkening his face. He raised his bloody dart and shook it.
Did they leave Geyser's people alone? Huh? Ask Strike's Lightning. They murdered his entire family.
I'm sorry for the boy, but Geyser must have done something to the others to make them angry enough to kill.
Nothing! We did nothing!
Nothing except compete for the herds.
Then we must teach them we mean them no harm. We'll share the animals.
You have us open our arms to murderers? Accept them? Teach them of Father, Son, and the Blessed Star People. Show them how to live like people.
Raven Hunter ran his grimy sleeve across his mouth as he stared into the somber, silent gathering.
They want nothing from us but our blood.
Several of the young men nodded affirmation. The old ones glanced uneasily at each other. An old woman covered her face with a fox hide, rocking back and forth. Mouse pushed her way through the crowd, coming to stand by Strikes Lightning, her husband.
My boy is dead. What use is the other who killed him? He's not of the people, or the people's way. I am proud that my husband killed this other. Hear me! How many must weep? How many of you will fall to their darts this coming year? Think on that before you mutter behind your hands.
Raven Hunter raised his fist again, teeth bared.
She's right. Did Father Son put us here for the sport of these others? You've seen Grandfather Brown Bear play with a salmon, fling it around for his enjoyment, toss it, pounce upon it, and leave it to rot because its belly was full. I, for one, will not be toyed with by the others. From now on, be it known, I will fight and kill! to keep the land of my fathers.
He thrust the dart deeply into the ground, a blood-black totem. Angrily, he crossed his arms, staring back at them, feet braced. The light of the bonfire flickered over his angry features, glinting in his black eyes. The young men nodded and stepped closer to Raven Hunter. The young women looked to them, teeth flashing proudly in the firelight. Only the older people glanced nervously back and forth. Crowcaller raised calloused hands, palms out, to still them. Face tight, he looked around.
This I would not have had happen. But something must be done.
Not war with the others. What next? More raids? No, this is not the way.
Neither is death. There lies the big ice, just to the east of us. More ice chokes the high mountains. No game in the ice, Grandfather. Only starvation. And we know that to the south lie hills, piled rocks, dry land, and finally more ice. Think of what we've let the others take from us. The bounty of the salt water. The game of the grassy plains. Only by driving the others back can we find a way to live in peace.
Singing Wolf walked out from the line of the dancers.
Runs and Light said there was a way through the big ice to a land bursting with game, and...
And you're here. So much for the wolf dream.
I don't know. We didn't die. You hear? We didn't die.
And where is my brother?
He stayed with old Heron.
Stayed with a witch. He's probably conjuring evil spirits to kill us all for shunning him and his false dreams.
He's a good boy. He'd never...
Then why isn't he here telling us of the way through the ice?
I don't know.
Our fate is in our own hands. The hands of young men with straight darts.
And the others? You think they'll just let us kill them? You think they won't kill us back?
Jumping Hare, how many of us died yesterday?
None.
How many darts were loosed at us?
None.
Oh. Some may die. I may die.
Raven Hunter paced slowly back and forth before his bloody dart, every eye of the people upon him.
But I won't die like a trapped caribou, to be clubbed to death at will. Have the people lost their honor?
Strikes Lightning sidled up beside Raven Hunter, narrow face gleaming orange in the firelight.
If we just sit by and let the others kill us, there'll be no one left to sing our souls to the Blessed Star People. Father Sun will force our souls to spiral downward into darkness.
Eternal darkness. Because we were cowards.
The old people, and some of the mothers with children in tow, looked uneasily back and forth. The children watched wide-eyed, the tots sucking thumbs while they held to the hands of their brothers and sisters. At the fringes, Raven Hunter could see Dancing Fox, her beautiful face somber. Even in this moment of greatest peril, he smiled at her, seeing her lower her eyes. As he looked at her, Raven Hunter stroked the blood-encrusted dart.
That's the future, my people. We must save ourselves. For 4 days, I will fast. Then, on the fifth, I will go and drive more of the others from our lands. I'll take any who will go with me. But if no one else has the courage, I'll go alone.
He caught sight of Dancing Fox as she slipped carefully to the rear, winding quickly away. He turned, following slowly into the darkness. Like a man gambling with caribou toe-bone dice, he'd made his best cast. Back in their tent, Green Water gave her husband, one who cries, a troubled look.
It's not good, this. Raven Hunter's done it this time.
I just want to hunt. That's not so much to ask, huh?
And the others?
They're... Hey, there's a foot in my robes.
A foot?
It's Dancing Fox.
Dancing Fox peered out from under the robes, her face troubled.
Please, I had to go somewhere. Had to. Raven Hunter, he'll be looking for me. He want to...
I don't care what he wants. You can't just crawl into my...
Shut up, husband. Raven Hunter wants to couple with her. It's not too much for a woman to ask shelter from a man like that.
wants to couple?
I'll leave. I didn't mean to cause the...
Hush. These robes are plenty big enough for all of us.
No, that's all right. Crowcaller cursed me anyway. It's not right that I should taint your souls with mine. I didn't think first.
Crowcaller? He couldn't curse a maggot into becoming a fly.
The robes are big enough. I agree with my husband. We've seen dreamers. Crowcaller is a fake.
He threw me out. Cursed me.
I heard what he did to you. And I know why it happened in the first place. He beat you.
Hey, doesn't a husband have a right to his wife anytime he wants her?
You come at me like a bull mammoth in rut and see how long it takes for your robes to be piled in the snow.
Never.
Of course not. That's the point.
I'd better go.
You stay. Like Greenwater says, the robes are big enough.
And you be careful, husband.
Why'd you do that?
Just a warning. The last thing you'd want to do is embarrass yourself by trying to stick that little thing in Dancing Fox.
Little thing? Little? Ow!
So there you are.
Dancing Fox stiffened, hearing Raven Hunter's voice. She braced herself on the digging stick she used to pry starchy Arctic potato roots from the mucky soil. In her bag, sour dock and fat roots bulged. She turned. He stood tall, arms crossed, head cocked as he watched. The breeze tugged at his long hair, lying loose about his shoulders in a shining blue-black mantle. His too-perfect face reflected curiosity, challenge, a gentleness behind his heavy-lidded dark eyes.
I looked for you the last night of the dance.
I thought you were up praying for a vision.
I've seen. This year, we'll be successful. This year, we'll push them back to the north. Breathing room for the people. For a while.
Green water and laughing sunshine, she knew, were just over the small hillock. All she need do was cry out.
What do you want?
A curious look of surprise flickered across his smooth face.
Why, to save the people from the others, to...
With me?
But you've already become mine. Who else will have you? My silly brother is off to be a dreamer. Fool. He used to tell me about his visions. About father's son living far to the south and strange animals. Red-brown caribou with butts the color of tanned leather. About a small deer, buff and white, that sheds its horns and can outrun Wind Woman. He went on about a little dog wolf. Brown, he said, with a bushy tail and nose like a fox. Quick, he said. Smarter than wolf. Smarter than wolf! I'll bet his beloved spirit loves that.
I wouldn't discount his dreams.
He strode toward her, arrogance in every line of his deadly body.
Oh? And why not? Tell me, Fox. I value your counsel. You'll be my wife one day.
Dancing Fox looked up at him, aware of how close he'd come. The faint odor of his body traced delicately in her nose. Almost fearful, she met his eyes, felt the magnetism of his personality. He was so handsome, yet he repulsed her. Memories came back of the long dark, of Raven Hunter's body sliding under her robes.
No, I won't.
The deep pools of his eyes stirred, drawing at her soul. A light shiver played along her spine as those eyes softened, beckoning her.
You're going to be a leader of the people, Fox. But only if you're with me.
A leader?
A great leader. That's why I've done what I've done. Talon taught you well out there, didn't she? Oh, I watched you kill the moose. Well done. A perfect throw.
How?
I followed you, all through the growing of the long light. I watched, and I admired. I'll admit, at times I was tempted to ambush you. Enjoy the temptations of your body.
You followed us? All that time you...
But of course. I wouldn't want the woman I cherish to come to any harm. Not after you loved me so on the march from Mammoth Camp.
She shivered and took a step back. He smiled at her and leaned against a tree.
I never hurt you. I love you more than anything on this earth. Except perhaps our people.
Reeling, she turned and looked away, feeling him move close, feeling his arms go around her, warm, protective. His fingers traced the firm line of her jaw, striking fire along her flesh.
I'll never love you. Never! You forced me, used me for your pleasure like some... You brought me back to Crowcaller, threw me at his feet, humiliated me before the people. No! I ran to escape you.
I know.
She pushed violently away, fists knotted at her sides.
You know? What do you know? What do you know of Crowcaller's filthy touch? Of my despair? How can you know what it felt like that day Talon and I sneaked away from Sheep Whistle's camp?
The visions. I told you I'd never harm you. But I've seen your power, Fox. Not now, not anytime soon, but one day, your word will be law. In the vision, you'll be the strength of the people, and I...
And you mock Runs in Light's dreams?
Did he ever have visions of you?
No, he dreamed...
I have visions of you. We're tied, you and I. I've seen you changed, made powerful, and it's my duty to force you onto the right path, help you grow into what you'll need to be.
I'll be what I want, not what your twisted imagination would make me.
As I love you, I would spare you. But I can't. Like me, you have your place. Eventually, we'll be together. Powerful. The fate of the people in our hands. Then you'll love me and understand what I've done for you.
Dancing Fox turned to face him, but the retort died on her lips at the queer look in his hot eyes. She shook her head, her face turning pale.
You're mad.
Maybe. Remember that I've sworn I love you. My wrath is for the others who would drive us away. For you, I have only tenderness, and I cry at the thought of what you will face. When you come to me...
I'll never come to you! I'll embrace an other before I would...
No! Never say that! You're mine! Mine, you hear? Why do you think I fight? That you would fall to the hands of another? It's to keep you clean. Pure for my seed, that together, you and I, the greatest of the people, can found a new line of...
Mad!
No! You don't see it, I do! I see the child in your womb, my child!
A trembling smile touched his lips, eyes growing watery. He reached out a gentle hand to touch her.
I've seen our son.
No!
On fleet feet, she whirled, leaving the hide sack behind her, bolting over the hill.
Fox!
What is it?
Only when green water grabbed her in strong arms and held her did she finally stop shuddering.
Raven Hunter! He's mad! Insane!
Hush, it's all right. He won't bother you.
Green water tried to hug her, but Dancing Fox jerked around, looking fearfully over her shoulder, searching, but seeing nothing more than waving sedges, wormwood, and the occasional grasses of the smooth hillside.
Why is it always us?
One who cries lifted his hands, eyes on a knot of angry people a dart's throw away. The elders waggled scolding fingers and snapped at the smoldering young men who fingered their darts and shook their stubborn heads. Arguments had filled the camp since the previous night. Raven Hunter's actions had brought it all to a boil. In the shelters on the terrace, a deep-seated tension had invaded the skin lodges. Women worked hides, eyes veiling worry as their men bickered. The children no longer ran among the dogs, laughing and teasing. The stick and running games had fallen silent. One Who Cries shook his head, studying his dwindling supply of quartzite point blanks. He chose one, looking carefully at the stone, practiced eyes seeking any flaw, any irregularity. Stubby teeth sunk in his lower lip. He squinted at the point before rubbing the edge along his grooved sandstone, preparing the platform.
First Wolf Dreamer and his dream, now Raven Hunter wants to hunt the others instead of Mammoth and Caribou. We always have trouble now.
Singing Wolf looked up and paused from carving a segment of mammoth ivory into an otlatl hook. Laughing Sunshine patched his moccasins nearby, the new life in her belly barely visible.
It's as Heron said. The world's changing. Nothing's the same anymore. Raven Hunter and Wolf Dreamer have split the people right down the middle.
Green Water lifted her chin, her expression thoughtful.
Which half should we go with? Wolf Dreamer kept us safe, led us to Heron. We can't forget that.
With a rounded cobble, she kneaded a mixture of brains and urine into the hide she worked. The caribou fawn skin would make undergarments, soft, warm, and light. Already, the bulge of a child rounded her abdomen. From the side, Dancing Fox worked at stitching new fawnskin undergarments together. Her hair swung in a black wave as she listened. One Who Cries glanced at his wife.
I think we should have stayed with him. I could have missed all this.
You say that a lot now. We should have.
She smiled warmly at him, enjoying his scowl. Singing Wolf gave One Who Cries a curious glance.
Why do you think that Crowcaller has said nothing?
It's as if he's waiting for something.
Dancing Fox rolled her eyes. Laughing Sunshine turned the long boots in her hand over and shook her head.
You know what Heron said about him. You heard Broken Branch. Says he doesn't dream. And Heron would know. Maybe he's waiting to see which way the wind's blowing, so he can make up a dream.
Heron believes Wolf Dreamer's dream.
One Who Cries nodded to himself as he ran his thumb down the edges of the tool he crafted and picked up his baton. Laughing Sunshine gave them all a somber look.
People say she's wicked, a witch. She didn't do anything bad to us. She fed us, kept us alive. Now she's all right. And she dreams. She really dreams. Remember the way she called the caribou? Remember the way Wolf Dreamer called the caribou?
One Who Cries snapped thinning flakes from the tool he was shaping.
Good tool stone up there. Haven't found anything like it down here.
Dancing Fox crowded closer to watch, absorbed by his work. Singing Wolf frowned.
Hey! Quit that! Those flakes of stone go all over the place. Next thing you know, I'll sit down and have one stuck in my butt.
A man can't nap out a good point to save his soul around you. But just wait, huh? Soon as I'm finished, you'll want this point. You'll be trying to trade one of your little pictures for it.
I can't help it if you make the best dart points of all the people. Especially that new thin one you created. What am I supposed to do, let my family starve? Besides, these pictures I trade are powerful. Give you luck.
Then quit hollering about the flakes. You can't make a point without...
I want that point. I'll trade 2 fine fox hides for it. Good hides. The kind for lining parka hoods or insulating mittens.
It's yours, Fox.
One Who Cries beamed his pleasure at Singing Wolf.
Make me a detachable foreshaft, and maybe I'll trade you a couple of points.
Detachable darts? You're out of your mind.
Something I thought of after that buffalo almost got me, during that hunt a while back. Just think about it, huh?
Laughing Sunshine laid a hand on Singing Wolf's arm, her gentle eyes troubled.
You don't think we should follow Raven Hunter?
Odd things are happening. What if he was right? What if Geyser's people should have turned and fought back? I wish I knew more. I just don't know.
Fighting isn't our way. I remember a tale Flies Like a Seagull used to tell, about a long-gone time when we warred with others. That's why the people came here, to get away from all that. She said it was better to leave than to have all that raiding. She said people looked over their shoulders all the time and nothing ever got done. There was no time to hunt. That's why Father Son brought us here. Gave us rules so we didn't kill each other.
Maybe Father Son brought the others here. You know, sort of a test. Maybe. Maybe Wolf Dreamer was his way of telling us there's another way.
Wolf Dreamer! Wolf Dreamer! Enough of him! He's not here!
No one died but one little girl. My wife and I lived. Brought us to Heron, a dreamer, a real dreamer. Not someone like Crowcaller.
Crowcaller.
Dancing Fox closed her eyes in pain. Singing Wolf glanced at her with compassion.
What he did to you was wrong.
Don't forget that Raven Hunter helped.
And you think he's mad?
I know he is. Something's tormenting his mind. He says dreams, but I don't know.
One Who Cries looked at Fox with a thoughtful set to his wide mouth.
Seems like it always comes back to those two brothers, huh? Trouble in both of them. At least Wolf Dreamer hasn't suggested we go off to get a dart driven into our bellies.
Greenwater gave her husband a quizzical look.
A leader should keep the health of the people foremost in his mind. I can't help but believe we'd be better off just avoiding the others.
Singing Wolf studied the ivory he'd been working on for a moment before looking at the others.
Raven Hunter comes back tomorrow. Most of the young men are planning on going with him, all ready to stick darts into the others. If it had to happen, it's a good time. Lots of meat now. The renewal's about to break up. We won't have to make the fall hunt for a while yet.
I'm not going. I have a family here. Young one on the way.
Greenwater smiled her relief at her husband, but Singing Wolf looked at Laughing Sunshine, his eyes serious.
Maybe. Maybe I'll go.
Laughing Sunshine straightened, a horrified look in her eyes.
No, not you.
I want to see. Maybe someone like me ought to be there, as a witness to what happens.
No.
Laughing Sunshine, maybe it's time I started doing what Broken Branch and Heron said. That's why we keep elders around, to make us learn. And I need to know, to see both sides. Someone with sense should come back and tell the people what really happened. I don't trust Raven Hunter.
Singing Wolf looked up at One Who Cries as a long silence lengthened.
If I don't come back, will you pray my soul to the Blessed Star People?
Laughing Sunshine clamped her jaw tightly, looking away in dread.
We'll pray you to the Blessed Star People. But look, there's no good in...
You'll take Laughing Sunshine? Make her a wife along with Greenwater, raise my child?
I will. You and I, we've been together a long time, eh? Hunted mammoth, saved each other's lives. I'll do this thing for you as you would for me. I'll take Laughing Sunshine as my wife. Your child will be as my own blood.
Maybe I can learn the truth of these brothers. One must be right. And maybe I can learn if Heron was right about me.
Laughing Sunshine chewed her lip, eyes bright with worry. Dancing Fox moved to grip her hand, squeezing it reassuringly.